Meet Sven. He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's August 14th, 2009, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I am Chris Cosenza.
And I am Scott Long.
And I am the worst apes player on the planet.
Well, we already knew that.
I know.
It's
a refresher course. It's a refresher course today.
Now, you actually rebought, though.
Yeah, I did rebuy because a very generous Antiup National put $5 in my account and said, stop whining about how you're going to play the rebuy. Play it right. So,
and that's too bad. This poor Antiup National, who will go unnamed, doesn't know you like I do and know that $5 is not going to make you quit whining.
Well, it came close last night. I didn't whine at all last night. And I can't whine today. I just played like a total idiot. I got to tell you, there was one hand. I didn't even pay attention because I was doing work on one screen and working and doing the tournament on the other. And I'm like, oh, I got king-queen suited. I got the two guys to my left covered. They all folded to me. I'm going to shove. It's still the rebuy period.
Right, right.
I got king-queen. I'm going to shove. Well, I didn't realize that, you know, Jay Herky Syke had limped under the gun. So he calls. I had a big stack at the time. He had just a little bit bigger than me, and he had pocket tens. So I'm like, oh, it's right before the rebuy, and now I've lost all my chips. Then later on, I slow played two pair, and somebody made a straight on me, and I ended up going into the rebuy with the add-on, I mean, which is 1,300 chips. So I just played like an idiot. And then I got it all in the pocket fours. Yeah, the guy had pocket queens in the big blind, and I'm out. So, you know, here I am, like, oh, early on, I'm like, oh, I'm making some moves, I'm doing all right, and then, I suck.
Well, I tell you, I will actually defend you a little bit, because you went out, like, something, what, 130th? And
yeah, something like that.
After the rebuy period, and I saw those payouts, I think I wish I went out 129th, right behind you, because first place was, like, what, 100 clams?
$100.
Wow, that's a lot of work for 100 clams.
A lot of clams. Well, not a lot of clams for 100, you know. 100, how many people is 197
people? 197
people.
Yeah. I think 70 of them were actually playing. We had a lot of free roll interlopers who decided it wasn't worth playing for the $100.
Yeah.
Can't blame them.
Yeah, we had a couple of people sitting out at my table, my first table, so.
Well, congratulations to, I believe it was XLR Steve. All caps, shouting.
I think it's XTR.
XTR. Steve, shouting.
I don't know what it is, but very good. Congratulations. And
second place was Big Al.
Big Al, who knocked me out.
Yep,
he knocked me out. He was the one who had the queens, and I had the fours. So
yeah.
Nice job, Big Al. Way to go.
Yeah, and I made it through without rebuying.
See, now
and I wasn't a nit. And I wasn't a nit.
Yeah, no. I watched your table. You twice waited to go all in with pocket aces. Don't tell me you weren't a nit.
Well, it wasn't like I was nursing a stack of like 1,100 and refusing to rebuy.
Yeah.
You I just fold. Hey, sorry. Hey, wow, somebody's all in. Hey, somebody else is all in. Hey, well, what am I? I can't fold them, right?
You're just lucky you didn't cash, because I'd have been a lot more brutal on you today. Wouldn't have had as much mercy as I'm having right now, because both times I watched you turn your cards up all in, they were aces. So I don't know what to believe.
All right, well, our next event is event number 8. We're getting
getting close
getting
to
getting down to here.
Yeah, getting down to the wire.
And it is a limit Omaha 8. I finished second in this last year. To Hef Mike, who was at my table last night, my nemesis.
He destroyed you.
Yeah, so we'll see if I can do better this time. It is September 9th. Our free roll, August 26th. Don't miss that. And next week's show will be our power tips for Omaha 8 Portuguese edition.
You know, calling them power tips, really, you know, every month or every couple, you know, when I put it into the shows right up on Dreamweaver, when I'm updating the website and I put power tips in, I go, Yeah, they're really not that powerful. You know, we should call them average tips. Scott just did a spit take in the studio. Maybe we call them the average tips for Omaha 8.
Tepid tips.
How's tepid. That? Tepid tips. Yes. Lukewarm.
All right. Now, I'll bring the power next week. I know you won't.
Right. Yeah, I don't like the game.
I'll bring the power.
But don't forget, though, if you want any information on these tournaments and you don't know about them at this point, are you crazy? How do you not know about it? We only talk about it every freaking week for a whole year. But just in case, go to antiupmagazine.com/apes. That's A-I-P-S, not like the monkey. Although we do give away a monkey when we give away a banana. So
hey, Steve, send us your address. We can get that banana and that plush monkey off to you.
Well, I'm surprised that you didn't cash last night, though, because you've been playing so well lately. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
You're like my new hero. You really are on an amazing run lately.
Oh,
so.
Shucks. Now I'm turning red. But no, I've, yeah, actually, I was going to say I've been playing a lot better live, but I've been doing well online.
You've been doing well pretty much everywhere you're playing.
But, you know, I had a McDermott moment.
Oh, no.
And is this in the vernacular now? Can we call them McDermott moments?
Well, with me, everything's related to Rounders, so you don't have to worry about that with me. I don't know how the nation feels, but yeah, McDermott.
You know, Mike McDermott walked into Johnny Chan, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to outplay him.
On this end.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I was over at the Sooks at Tampa Bay Downs. I busted out of the satellite for the big 350, of course, and then I jumped into a $60 six-handed. Let's just say it's a $600 six-handed. Makes it sound better, right?
Yeah. It's not that.
Yeah, it was $60. Yeah. And the $60 is key, too, because I sit down, I play these pretty regularly over there, and I'm usually one of the better players at the table. But I sit down at this particular one, which just happens to be about an hour and a half before the $100 deep stack tournament.
Right.
Where a lot of good players are in the room. And I look down, on my right is a Tampa Bay Downs Player of the Year for 2008.
That's Mickey, right?
A phenomenal tournament player. He's a tournament specialist.
Yeah.
To my left are two very strong regulars at Tampa Bay Downs. And one of the other guys, I didn't know, but I pegged him for a good player because, you know, you kind of size people up. And just based on how they look, you kind of make a knee-jerk reaction, right?
Yeah.
Sunglasses, it doesn't mean nothing to me. Hood over your head, nah, nothing. No. Gold jewelry, sorry, not impressed. But when you've got Bose headphones on your ears.
Noise reduction.
Exactly. The only two people that spend 200 clams to cover their ears with Bose are people working on their new CD with Quincy Jones and people who spend their entire life sitting in a poker room playing cards, so... That guy, I think, was pretty good, and he ended up proving to be pretty good. So, anyhow, I'm like...
But you know what, Scott? I'm confident that when you walked up to that table, they said, damn, I thought this was going to be an easy sit and go. Here comes Anti-Up's Scott Long. He's on fire. Damn, I thought I was going to make $100 to damn.
Yeah, that's true. I did probably shake some fear into him that I didn't realize.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. You got to start giving yourself credit, buddy.
All right. I appreciate that. But, you know, I look around this table and I'm like, wow. Can I have my money back, please? I mean, I'll just light it on fire. I just don't want to sit here and be embarrassed by these really good players. But we played a little bit. I made an early mistake, but then I rebounded. I was playing good. I started making some moves on these people. And then I'm like, you know, then the light bulb went out. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to win this thing.
No, wait, I'm sorry. The note says, screw it. I'm going to win this thing. I want you to be properly attributed to what you said that day.
So I ended up knocking out three of the other players.
Sweet.
We get down to heads up, and the guy looks at me, and he's like, you want to shop? And this happens every single time at every sit and go anywhere in the world.
Yep.
And it's just kind of like, you know, that unspoken collusion thing.
Yeah.
When you get down, you just chop. Doesn't matter, chip sex.
Yeah.
I looked over and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to chop. And then he's got like six buddies around him. And they're like, well, what do you mean you don't want to chop? You're going to play this out for $30?
So you're not only playing him, you're playing the sneers and jeers of the guy standing around him with evil looks. And
I'm like, I'm really sorry, guy. I mean, if you want to chop, we can chop. But, you know, I feel like playing today. I want to see if I can win this thing.
Yeah.
Is that all right? And he's like, yeah, okay, you know, and then, you know, keeps going. You know, we go for about a half an hour in this thing, and he's like, yeah, this is good practice. I don't, you know, he's just kind of like, you know, you ass. Why did you chop?
How much of a chip lead did you have?
It was about 2-1, two and a half.
Just 2-1? Yeah, that's That's cool.
I mean, it wasn't dominant, but
yeah, no. If you were really dominant, I can understand. But you know, 2-1, you know, whatever. You know, but hey, you want to play. But you paid your money. You want to play.
Right,
you want to get
exactly.
experience. You never get experience playing heads up because everybody chops.
That's what I was saying,
right?
Exactly. Am I wrong?
Totally on your side. And I am so, I can feel the bile up in my throat from just agreeing with you all show so far, kissing your ass. It's making me sick. But I totally agree. You want some, you got some, put some down, some money. You want to play a couple of three Andrew Jacksons to play the damn thing.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's not a $600 tournament, but damn.
Right.
You know, you don't care about the variance. You're already making money. You already got 60 bucks invested.
I'm going more, but
screw it.
With more than I had, right?
You were there to be entertained. You want to play. You want to beat this guy's ass.
Right.
So, did you beat his ass?
I did.
Yes! And what, did he, like, give you the MF look at the end?
No, he was pretty cordial, but I could tell I was getting under his skin. And then at one point, I kind of let him run over me for a while to get his confidence up.
And then you trapped.
Folding. And then I showed him a bluff when I'm... push him off a big hand, and he's like, all right, it's on. And he got agitated. He's like, all right, that's the last time you're going to do that to me. I'm like, okay. It wasn't the last time I did that to you. So, yes.
That is sweet.
I took that money. I tipped that dealer very well, and I walked out of there with my head high.
Awesome. Nice job.
So that was my McDermott moment.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you brought up McDermott, because I had no idea that Gretchen Mol's mom was an actress.
Is she as hot as Gretchen Mol was?
For 1966 she was, because, Scott, I'm here to tell you that I watched A Big Hand for the Little Lady this week. TiVo taped it for me. I had no idea.
I was just going to ask you. I didn't know Faso came over. I'm kind of upset that you didn't invite me over.
1966 film, Henry Fonda, and then I'm like, Joanne Woodward and Henry Fonda are a couple? I don't think so. So that already was kind of fishy. But what I mean by Gretchen Mol's mom is, you know how Gretchen Mol was the bitch in Rounders?
Yeah, but she was a cute one, though.
I didn't say she was or she wasn't.
Okay.
She was the bitch in Rounders,
all right.
Okay?
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah.
All right, all right. Yeah, you know, in the poker game of life, Gretchen Mol is the rake, all right? So what I was saying was, I'm watching this movie. It starts out, and Henry Fonda wants to go watch this high-stakes game. Just wants to watch. Apparently, he's got a gambling problem. Just wants to watch.
All right.
And she's like... no, you promised. And she's like going on and on and on. Well, we know that you can't go. And I'm like, oh my God, this is Rounders, 1966
wow.
version. You know?
30
but
years
clearly, it was, to me at least, it was pretty obvious what was happening early on. That it, you know, I don't want to spoil this for anybody, but the movie's been out for 50 years, so I really don't think I'm spoiling it for anybody.
Did you get the straight flush at the end?
Here's the deal. It was a total sham. All of a sudden, this family of three arrive in town the same day as this huge game, and they put on this whole show, and that she has this huge hand, and because she doesn't play, he's playing, but he has a heart attack, and then the doctor who's supposed to take care of him takes his time getting there, and I'm like, well, wait, if the guy's having a heart attack, usually the doc would get up and run, because that's what doctors do, you know.
Unless they've had knee surgery. Like our guest today.
Well, yeah, that's true. He couldn't get there quickly. But other than that, they normally would. So I'm thinking, you know, something's not right here. And so I had a feeling that it was a bunch of baloney. And it was. But I have to tell you, there are a lot of things I want to bring up about this movie. You know, obviously the ending was supposed to be a surprise ending, but it wasn't because I just kind of figured it out. But every character in the game, every character, and it was a good crew in this movie, too. It was a good cast. But every character reminded you of someone today, easily.
Just like the Grand.
Yeah, it was exactly like that, except that, I mean, it was clear that these people knew what they were doing with this poker game, but, you know, when they wrote the movie and
right,
stuff, they
right.
knew, they pretty much knew what people were like at poker games and stuff. Jason Robards was, like, just unbelievably awesome in this movie. He was, like, the biggest dick you can imagine. I mean, it was hilarious. Some of the stuff he was saying was awesome. He was absolutely unbelievable. But, so Joanne Woodward was the wife,
yeah.
air quotes, you know, and she was the one giving trouble and everything. But there's two things I want to bring up about the movie. Western-style betting.
Mm.
This is what they said the game was. They said, this is Western-style betting, buddy. And then Henry Fonda says, well, what is that? And he said, well, Western-style betting means that if you don't have enough money to cover the bet, you have to bow out and leave your money in the middle. So just like
wow.
they show on TV, where if you don't have enough money, do you take IOUs? And
yeah,
they're like,
pink slips for the
yeah,
ranch.
Exactly. So they're like, no, you have to bow out. So Bill Gates would win every hand, essentially, because
yeah,
he would just go all in with his billions, and they couldn't cover his billions. So
I'm
that was
they
phony.
Had a game last long enough for the hour and a half of the movie.
I know. Well, they didn't. It was one hand. I mean, really, I thought what was going to happen was she was going to sit down and actually be a card shark and take all their money. But it really was just a big hand for the little lady. It was one hand. I mean, there were other hands in before that she sat down, and the guy was Henry Fonda was losing money before he had the heart attack. But it was just one hand. And it's funny how they make it tap out, work out and everything. But they had a thing about, you know, you can't tap out. You know, and I'm like, oh, there's that tap thing again, you know. But I enjoyed the movie. I was shocked. There was not a lot of poker, but there was a lot of poker, like, personality, a lot of poker talk and stuff. So, I mean, it was interesting. And I was actually entertained by it. I thought I was going to hate it. But, like, Robards leaves his daughter on the altar because she's getting married. And he's like, I'm sorry, I got to go to this game. When they come, I have to go wait all year for this game. I'm leaving. And she's like, she doesn't want to get married without her dad there. And he leaves her there with, you know, and then, so there was a lot of funny stuff like that. And I actually enjoyed the movie. I can't believe it.
Now, can the little lady, would she go for the million against Phil Ivey on Face the Ace?
She definitely would not go for the million because she didn't have a whole crew behind her working the angles. You understand? You know, that show is dying, too, by the way. I know we're going to probably talk about it a little bit later, but...
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the classic movies. There were good movies made before 1998.
I could not believe that I enjoyed it, but I did. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I still don't like Cincinnati Kid, but I'll watch it when it's on. If it's on TV or something, I'll watch it.
You'll tolerate it.
Yeah. No, not tolerate it. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not great either. All right, so we're all done with that. So let's see what you have piled up on your news desk.
All right. Douglas Rennick, an executive who has worked for a number of payment processors that handle online gaming money, has been indicted in the United States on bank fraud, money laundering, and illegal gambling charges, Poker News Daily reports.
More of the same. Next.
Screws on the next, guys.
Next.
Yep. All right. KSL Channel 5, a Salt Lake City TV network owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has preempted the new Face the Ace TV show because gambling doesn't meet, quote, air quotes, community standards, the Salt Lake City Tribune reports. NBC says the show, however, is a game show since players aren't risking any of their own money.
That's a very good point, but it doesn't matter. It's all moot anyway because the damn thing's not going to be on TV anymore. They're moving it to like CNBC, and who the hell watches that channel?
But, you know, here's the thing that this is really when people say, what can we do to get poker legalized? You know, this is what we need to change.
Yeah.
Is the whole image of poker as gambling.
Yeah.
Because NBC is totally right here. There's nothing different between Face the Ace and Who Wants to Make a Millionaire, Be a Millionaire, or Deal or No Deal.
Absolutely right.
You just go on there, you're free rolling, and you make decisions. And
you're absolutely right. It's 100% not gambling.
Just happens to be a poker.
I bet you they have bingo parlors.
No, they don't.
No. No. I don't know. Next, please.
A Fort Wayne, Indiana man faces a counterfeiting charge after police say he cashed in $18,000 in fake chips at the Parnell Poker Place, the Journal-Gazette reports.
I often wonder why that's not done more often.
Yeah, maybe it is. People just don't, or maybe this guy was just an idiot and got caught.
Like, poker chip dealers are, you know, the people who make the chips. Right. Are they, like, under, like, law if they see any kind of casino name or anything like that to not be able to make them?
That's a good question.
That's an interesting thing. I often wonder why that doesn't happen more often, but maybe it's because chip manufacturers are under, like, contract. If you're going to make chips, you can't make ones that have casino names on them. Like, you can't say, can you mimic this chip for me? Or,
well, I believe, too, in Florida, too, when the rooms, when they get rid of their chips and buy new ones, they actually have to destroy the old ones.
Yeah. Yeah, destroy them.
I think they had to, like, bury them in the parking lot or something, I think somebody said at one point.
I think we've talked about that before. Yeah, you have to get rid of them, so.
Yeah,
interesting. Oh, interesting. Well, you know, my favorite thing about the mailbag coming up, it's not the letter, although I'm going to enjoy telling my story.
Okay.
It's the town.
Yes.
Or the city. Pearl City, Hawaii. Love that. We know we have somebody in Hawaii who listens to us.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
He probably lives near Josh Hartnett and Ben Affleck and, you know, their brave flyers from Pearl Harbor.
Oh, my God. Well, this is Nathan, and he writes in and says, what are some of our hosts' most serendipitous poker events in their lives? He said he was multi-tabling online, misclicked, and folded pocket rockets, which I have done more than once, but only on the old poker room. Because I used to I always hit $1 for the bet, and I'd hit fold because F1 was right above it. I've done that twice. But then he says the winner would have made a top set of jacks, and he probably would have gone broke in the hand. So, and he wants to know if anything like that's happened to us where we've done something serendipitously. But to me, online serendipity is not the same as live because if you played your hand, that jack may not have come out, and you may not have lost all your money.
That's true. You're not going to get that random number generator.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I'm on board. If that's the way it happens, then that's the way it happens. So maybe his aces wouldn't have gone up against a set. So, but why don't you go first with what you deem as serendipitous?
Right, well, I've been saving this letter because I was hoping to come up with, because obviously he's looking for some really good stories out of us.
Yeah.
And I think we may probably not quite reach the bar of the...
I might.
The high bar that
I might.
Set
don't
for
speak
him.
For me.
But, you know, lately I've got a couple, well, we talked about my caches and singles, but a lot of times, I guess lately, some of them have been going to the poker room to do something completely different and finding myself in some kind of game or tournament that I hadn't played and done really well. But I guess the one that I remember, and I think we talked about this in the show a long time ago, back very early in my online poker playing, I was kind of excited, had a couple $100 online, woohoo, this new game poker! And I really had no concept whatsoever of what no-limit poker was. Because I used to go to the casino and play, like, you know, 3-6 or 4-8 limit. So I'm like, hey, no-limit, is there really a difference between 1-2 no-limit and 2-4 no-limit? I mean,
yeah.
The bets are no-limit, right?
Yeah,
why does
yeah.
it matter what the blinds are?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, now I'm completely embarrassed. I didn't even think that I got myself into this. But yeah, I actually bought into a 2-4 no-limit game. And lost my entire roll. I mean, actually, I got lucky. I got my money in bad and hit a set and quadrupled up or something ridiculous. And I'm sure everybody in there thought I was a complete moron. And then, of course, I
you gave it all away, right?
Donked it all off on the very next hand. And that's when I learned my lesson about 2-4 no limit.
Well,
so I guess
funny,
that was my serendipitous.
Funny that you bring up a long time ago, because that's what I'm thinking about, too, is Foxwoods. My wife is coming to pick me up. I've already won like $500 or $400. I've said, all right, I'm all done. I'm going to the restroom, wash my hands. I'm going to come back, rack my chips, and leave.
We appreciate you washing your hands.
Yeah. Well, as I'm coming back to the table, the dealer sees me and pitches a card to my seat. And I'm like, no, I don't want to screw anybody up. Right, all right,
exactly.
I'll play this hand.
Yeah.
And I looked down at pocket kings. And I was like, I'm already up $400 or whatever it was at the time, and I got pocket kings. So, all right, I got to play this hand, you know. And I raise. And, of course, a guy like three seats to my left had pocket queens. So he calls my – one guy goes all in. He calls the all in. Then I – so we ended up getting like – and then I think you guys – you may right. – true fans of this show who've been around since the Times days will remember, you know, I kept betting just enough to keep him in, and he had queens. And I ended up making another like $300 or $400 on that hand. And I was supposed to go home. So that's totally serendipitous for me.
Absolutely.
It was all because, you know, dealers are really good that way. They see their player coming back, and they throw it because they know he's going to want to play his hand.
Yep.
But he had no idea I wanted to go. So that was totally serendipitous for me. I ended up making $800 that day instead of $400 or $500.
Yeah, particularly double serendipitous because usually when players play one last hand,
it's always when they go
they
broke.
Go broke.
That's what happens to me all the time. So there, that totally proves the point, man. That was totally serendipitous for me. But... But yeah, another good letter, and I'm glad it came from Hawaii, and we got something new for him.
Yeah, we got a couple new items on the swag shelf this week, trying some new stuff out, and Nathan.
There's only one A in the beginning of that name. It's only Nathan.
Nathan from Pearl City, Hawaii, you won a lovely $10 online staking package from our good friend Craig at getastake.com.
Awesome.
He's done some good stuff. He gives out some staking for Apes winners and stuff. And now he's going to give out $10 probably every week to one of our lucky listeners.
I'm going to have to write some letters. I'm going to write like 100 letters a week, right?
So, Nathan, we will forward your information on to the good folks at getastake.com and win lots of money.
Sweet. All right, so at part four of our one-minute mystery... We had 2.3K, which I love that, 2.3. That's 2,300. Why can't we just write 2,300 on here? We're at the 5,100 level. After two callers, the cutoff raises to 400, and we have six of clubs, five of clubs, and the big blind. And he wants to know, do we play? So I'll let you go first.
All right. I originally in the vault, back before I was influenced by our folks on the forum, I wrote down... 300 to call here. It's a little bit more than 10% of our stack, so the book says to fold. But, you know, I was going to speculate. I was going to call and because this is kind of a hand that I might be able to, if I hit good, I could chip up.
I
was going to call.
I said,
think I've changed my mind since then, but well, that's what I initially was going to do.
I said fold because the main reason, I think, was because, one, it's a tournament. not a cash game. Mm-hmm. If it's a cash game, I play because I want to get all this guy's money.
That's true.
But a tournament's a long deal. Plus, I had two players still behind me that I don't know what they had, and 6-5, you know, I'm not going to shove with it. And my stack, it's just too much on my stack to call and speculate with just suited connectors, I think, at this point. So I just folded. The forum, which you said had some influence on what you wanted to say now, their consensus was we don't have enough chips to call, so either fold or push. I would never push with 6-5 with two guys behind me and another guy raising before him. There's no reason for it. So I wouldn't shove.
Well, I don't know if there's no reason for it.
I would not shove 2,000 more on 6-5.
No, but the debate on the forum is that, you know, unless you're up against a pair, you're 6-5 or probably live cards, got the straight and 60, the flush.
Probably 65-35 against the hand that raised.
But, you know, if you get three people all in with 6-5, I'm calling.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's a good hand to try to make your suited connectors because you have pot odds, but you don't do it blindly without knowing what the five cards are. You want to at least see the flop before you're going to continue.
Well, that's why I was just going to call.
No, not you, but I'm talking about the all-in shove.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, let's see what happens, and then listen to part five.
Welcome to episode 5 of Right Along with Columbo. If you recall from the last episode, we had slingshotted backwards to a below starting stack size, and we're now facing a 4x raise with 5 of clubs, 6 of clubs in the big blind. Now that I have 2.3k, I am looking for situations where I can pick up chips quickly without a showdown. When you are short and you make a big move from EP, you often get called. But here, only one player showed any strength and his stack size is 5,400. I have a pretty good feeling that a stack size in late position betting 400 will not call an overbet of 2,300, afraid of the big pair. All three players insta-fold, and I collect the pot. Yes, I risked 1,900 for 1,000, but I needed those chips. And there's nothing wrong with a little aggression now and then. So now we are at 3,200 and a healthy early M of 21. Let's hope the ride along with Columbo lasts a little bit longer now as our early play has been more volatile and risk-laden than our usual play. We now move on to the 5,100 level after surrendering our blinds. Under the gun and under the gun plus one fold, mid-position player limps, another fold, and it comes to us in the hijack with jack-jack. Early set mining levels are over, so this is an easy raise to 400. The cutoff folds, but the button then shoves for 2,900 and is all in. Sound familiar? The small blind folds and the big blind surprises me by calling the 2,500 and is all in. So, do you feel like gambling? Well, do you, punk?
Remember Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited. He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Well, we can't really see him. Something happened to his chair, and he's like sunken down below the counter here at the studio. But Dr. Frank Toscano, lighten up Francis, is in the office again. He's back with us in the studio. We're not going to call him Dr. Frank or Doc Frank. It makes him uncomfortable. He feels like he's our elder or something. And
right.
He wants to be an equal. So we're just going to call him Frank today.
He wants you to be known just as plain old Frank, which makes me, after the show, I'm going to have to go check and make sure he's still a board certified physician, because maybe he's just trying to protect himself.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be, you know, in
public. Don't call me doctor. I'm not really a doctor.
I'm not really a doctor. He's got herbs and shit over there. I don't know. But Frank, it's great to have you back. We love having you back every like few episodes. That way you can talk about what you've written about and what's going on in the poker world. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing pretty good, but it's not plain old Frank. It's just plain Frank.
All right. Well, we know when you went to Duke, so we're going to stick with plain old Frank.
All right, Frank, you will be joining us on the Anti-Up Poker Cruise in just a couple days. You got a little bum knee there, so we're hoping you can still party up on the Lido deck. But you did a wonderful column, healthy bet column for us recently in Anti-Up Magazine that talked about some stuff that you want to pay attention to while you're on a cruise. So, first of all, are you excited about sailing?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm just really hoping that my bankroll will last at least until the cruise ship gets out of the Tampa Bay, underneath the Skyway. I hope it'll last at least that long.
It definitely will, because the poker room's not opening until 8.
Yeah.
So unless you're starting your own game somewhere and pissing us off, you'll be fine.
You wager on the length of the mustard drill or something like that, you'll probably be all right. But so tell us some good stuff that we need to do to stay healthy on the boat besides getting knee surgery right before we sail.
Oh, God. Hopefully my knee will just keep me at the table the whole time. That's what happens.
We hope that, too, as the proprietors of this poker room.
Well, you know, it's been a long time since I sailed. The last time I was on a cruise was with the wife and kids, and we sailed on one of those ships with the cartoon characters. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think we have an idea.
And there was nothing to do on board. There was no casino, no poker room. I had to have fantasies about Cinderella and Pocahontas in the hot tub. I made myself busy. But on this cruise, I'm looking forward to playing some poker. But I want to give your listeners some advice, particularly the ones that are going to be on the cruise, and just some points that might help them be safe while they're on board. The first thing is, if you're on medications, bring a list of what your medications are with you so that the doctor on board doesn't have to try to figure it out. You've got to realize that there are thousands of little red pills, and we don't know what they are just by looking at them. And if the doctor has a choice of whether he's going to perform CPR on you or go look up your pills in a book, you know, you don't want to put that temptation in front of him.
But what are you saying now? Are you saying that we should have the list in our pockets?
Yeah, I think that what you should do is if you give your pharmacist or your doctor a call and say, how about send me an updated list of my medications? They can fax it to you. You can go by and pick it up and stick it in your pocket. So if you need it, you've got it. The point is, if you just bring one of those little trays where you put the pills in,
right.
I mean, that's good for you, but it doesn't help the doctor any. And if you're the kind of guy that needs one of those trays to help you remember what pill to take which day, you probably shouldn't be playing poker anyway. The other thing is, while you're on the line with your doc, if your EKG is ugly, get a copy of it and make a copy to put in your pocket so you can show the ship's doctor. And also, if you'll ask your doctor to give you something called a problem list. Every doctor keeps what's called a problem list on your chart, which is a list of all the surgeries, all the medical conditions you've got. That's really helpful because, you know, you don't want to pay for a chopper to take you to the mainland to take your appendix out if you've already had it out once.
Well, maybe it grew back.
So should you bring your appendix with you then if you've had to take it out?
Look, here it is. Don't take it out. Pour for four.
Well, Chris, you don't have to worry about bringing that gallbladder with you.
No, that's right.
That's true.
So that's one piece of advice. Get that information so it'll help the doc if you have a medical problem. Now, a lot of people tend to overeat on these ships. You know, they've got food out all the time. And if you're the kind of person who has some dietary restrictions, you know, your stomach isn't on a vacation. If you're not supposed to eat fried and greasy and fatty and nuts and all that stuff at home, that doesn't mean that just because you're on vacation, you can eat them on the ship. You know, discretion is good advice.
Wait, I thought what happens in Cozumel stays in Cozumel. Yes. What are you talking about here? I can't have peanuts? No, I'm kidding.
You know, another thing that bothers a lot of people on ships is seasickness.
Yes, yeah. I was going to ask you about this. The wife hates this.
Yeah, does she really? You know, I've been seasick a couple of times in my life, and I remember getting down onto my knees and praying to the good Lord, please, God, let me die. And if you just did that, I would never ask for anything else again.
Well, you couldn't at that point.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
He let me live.
Well, so, God can't hear prayers in international waters. So good luck with that.
Well, one thing you can do is there may even still be time, especially if the cruise ship isn't full, if you tend towards seasickness, try to get a cabin toward the middle of the ship rather than the bow or the stern or one of those other sea names that I'm not familiar with. But anyway, get toward the middle, or you might want to ask your doctor if you should take some Dramamine or Scopolamine, have a patch put behind your ear. Now, I've got to give you a warning about the patch behind your ear. There's a medication in that if you touch it and get it in your eyes, it'll make your pupils dilate, and then you can't read the cards.
Oh, wow.
Which would probably be a good thing if you're sitting at the table with me, because I'd appreciate it if you can't read the cards. But be careful for the scopolamine patch. But ask your doctor if it's all right for you.
Now, Frank, do you know of any doctors that are working to make those patches a little more attractive? Because I know we got some folks coming on that want to kind of get their groove on with a little young lady or a little young man, and
Well, they might have to put that patch someplace other than behind the ear.
Yeah, okay.
Don't put it in a place that might surprise them later if you end up scoring. You know,
especially if it gets stuck in their eye and then they can't see.
Well, what is the thought about putting it behind your ear, though? I mean, it's obviously somebody tells you to put it there.
There's no reason it has to go there. It can go anywhere. You can absorb it from any place in your body, so it doesn't have to go there.
Yeah, okay.
Sweet. All right, well, you know, we know there's not going to be any smoking in our poker room on the cruise, but I know one thing that people hate, and that's why it's basically banned from all poker rooms now, is smoking. But everybody who listens to our show basically plays in some sort of home game, and a lot of guys like to do it. So I know that you've written a really cool column for this September issue about cigars and cigar smoke and cigarette smoke as well. But
cigars are great because they're healthy.
Can you expound on that a little bit?
They don't inhale. That's why I like them.
I think that cigars for a long time have been associated with, you know, manly pursuits. You know, just this summer there have been cigars featured in, in the past year there have been cigars featured in James Bond, in Iron Man, in Wolverine, and a number of other popular movies. And if you think back to the poker movies you've seen, I mean, everybody was smoking a cigar in Cincinnati Kid. Everybody in that, do you remember the judges?
Poker game, the judges game.
Everybody was smoking a cigar, and I think that people mistakenly believe that cigars are safer than cigarettes because you don't inhale them.
Right.
But the truth is that they've got many times more nicotine than a cigarette does. A lot of that nicotine is absorbed through the gums, and cigars are a cause of cancer of the entire respiratory system and the GI system. Pancreas cancer, bladder cancer, mouth, tongue, larynx, the whole thing.
So,
the point of the article was that, you know, there's a lot of people that think that a great idea is to have, you know, booze and cigars at a poker game. And I've played in some pretty juicy poker games that allowed cigar smoking, and I don't want to go back because there's a lot of side stream smoke. It's just as bad as cigarette smoke, if not worse. So it's just a warning about that. I don't know if you remember Edward G. Robinson in that Cincinnati Kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at the climactic scene right after he beat Steve McQueen, he lights up a cigar.
Yeah, he was totally savoring and waiting and lighting that wooden match.
Edward G. Robinson was a cigar collector, and he actually died of cancer. I don't know what kind, but I bet you it was smoking related.
Oh, yeah, it had to have helped or hurt, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the good thing about the Antioch Poker Cruise is we have all brand-new chips. Straight off the boat, pardon the pun. So they are as clean as they come, but generally speaking, most of our players play in rooms where these chips have been there for generations. They're dirty, nasty. We've talked about this before, Frank. How bad are dirty chips for your health?
Well, you know, I wrote a column on this, and it was prompted by that wonderful scene a year ago at the World Series of Poker when Tiffany Michelle was eating French fries at the table.
Yeah, with her hands.
With her fingers.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, God, this is, you know, how bad can that be? So I did a little research on it, and I found that actually the chips don't hold the bacteria very much. There have actually been some studies where chips from various casinos have been cultured. And, yeah, they have some bacteria on them, but not as much as you'd think. It's probably more dangerous for someone who's got a cold or the flu to be sneezing and coughing at the table because those cough droplets shoot out of their nose and mouth at about 100 miles an hour, and they can go for you know, the length of the poker table.
Yeah, airborne, definitely.
The other thing is that, and getting back to the cruise ship, one of the things that can be transmitted by poker chips or any solid surface or viruses, more so than bacteria, and particularly the norovirus on ships or a gastroenteritis virus. So the real issue is someone who goes to the bathroom and's having a little GI distress, doesn't have the best hygiene, comes back and plays with the chips, and then you win their chips, and you know, you find yourself not happy.
Oh, man. One more thing to worry about at the poker table now.
All right, well, speaking of one more thing, we know that you want to talk a little bit about swine flu, because we're going to have you stick around for the hand of the week, so we think that might be eventful. But you actually had written a column about these chips and about how swine flu really wasn't the worry of these chips and things like that. You pick it up from some other way, like you just said. But what is it about swine flu that has got you all gung-ho today?
Well, actually, when I had mentioned swine flu before, it was in the cruise ship column, and it was not to worry about going to Cozumel.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not going to catch swine flu from Senior Frogs.
That's right.
More likely you'll catch the Mexicali two-step. And, of course, the main thing to do to avoid that is, you know, make sure that whatever you drink in Mexico is bottled. And remember that they're probably
all
not
beer
using,
is bottled.
Yeah, or beer bottled is fine. That's pretty safe. But remember that they're not probably using bottled water for those ice cubes. Are floating in the ice cubes that are floating in your soda. So even if you're a teetotaler, you know, remember that they look like ice cubes, but they're actually little frozen cubes of E. coli. Come back to thank you later. But the reason I wanted to talk about swine flu was I've seen a fair amount of it lately in the ER. And when I was thinking about what sort of people are most likely to be exposed to swine flu, I thought, well, let's see, ER doctors, that's me. flight attendants, people that are cooped up in airplanes for a long period of time with multiple different people a day. And then, well, what about tournament poker players? They sit in a room with hundreds of people. They sit at a table with 10 people. They pass little objects around. And then every few minutes, the tournament director comes by and makes them change tables. And then 3 weeks later, they get on a plane, fly to another city, and they do it all over again. So I think that if I were a professional tournament poker player, which I'm not, but if I were, I would be real concerned about getting exposed to the swine flu. So I thought I would do a little research on and give some advice to your listeners, particularly the ones that like to play the tournament circuit. And what I'd like, there are three questions that I wanted to answer. And the first question is, should you get tested for the flu? Should you get a swine flu test? Secondly, if you get the flu, what should you do? And last, should you get a flu shot? I'm going to start with the last one, and that is, should you get a flu shot? I think that if you play poker tournaments frequently, especially if you travel to other cities to play poker, you betcha you should get it. Absolutely. But not now. And the reason not now is because it's not out yet. They're still working on it. So I anticipate that it's going to be available by the end of September or early October. So if you're planning on playing the winter tournament circuit, wait till about the end of September, October, talk to your doctor, and then go in and convince your own private physician that you participate in an activity that's a high risk for exposure. So you get the shot, because the shot's not going to be given to everyone. There's a limited amount available.
Right.
Mm. And so if you're not in a risk group, you may not get it. So you need to convince your doctor you're in a risk group. Now, if you happen to have some significant other illnesses like heart disease, emphysema, asthma, diabetes, or hepatitis, or if you are immunosuppressed because you're on chemotherapy or you've got HIV, then you are a candidate for the flu shot and you should definitely get it. So that was the first question.
Okay.
The second is, if you get the flu, what should you do? And if you don't have one of those bad diseases that makes it worse, then you should probably just stay in home, drink a lot of fluids, take Tylenol, and rest in bed. You've heard of the antiviral medicines like Tamiflu and Relenza. The Florida Department of Health says that if you have one of those risk factors I mentioned, those other diseases, then, or if you become deathly ill with the flu, then it's all right for you to take them. But otherwise, they do not recommend those drugs for the general public. Now, what does this really mean? Does it mean that they don't think the drugs will help you, or does it mean that there's a limited supply and they want to save it for really sick people? Who knows? But the truth is the drugs aren't that great. They don't work that well. They do reduce the viral shedding. They do reduce the severity of the symptoms a little bit. They shorten the course a little bit, but they're expensive, and they're certainly not a cure. And the other thing is you've got to start them within 48 hours of when symptoms begin. I don't know about you guys, but for me, it takes me 48 hours to figure out if I'm really sick.
Yeah, really.
So early reports were that the swine flu was sensitive to these drugs, but now there's some anecdotal reports that maybe there's some drug resistance. So what you really should not do, though, if you get the flu, you shouldn't go play poker at a brick-and-mortar casino.
Really?
I mean, what you need to do is get in bed, take the fluids, take the Tylenol, and play online. That's why God invented internet poker. Now, the final point on this is, what should you do if you get sick? You know, Should you, or if you get exposed, should you go get a test for the swine flu? And the answer is a big fat no. And it's not an intuitive answer. And let me tell you why. First of all, if you get the flu, you'll know it. You'll have fever and chills. You'll have muscle aches, weakness, cough, sneezing, sore throat, runny, stuffy nose, all those TV symptoms. So how do you know if it's swine flu? Trust me, it's swine flu. That's the only flu that's out there right now. All the other flus in the world are taking a hibernating vacation on the Riviera, and the only flu that's in the community right now is swine flu. And in fact, the Florida Department of Health has asked us to stop sending them swine flu tests because they're all positive.
Oh, my God.
And anyone who's got the flu has swine flu. So don't show up at your doctor's office or, worse yet, the ER for a swine flu test. You're not getting it. We're not doing it. We're like the soup Nazi. No test for you. So they've asked us to stop sending it. And if you're, you know, if you're not dying, just go home and go to bed. So those are the three big points. I want to make a few minor points about this, the flu, just to help you plan what you're going to do for this winter. First of all, almost everyone who's gotten the flu so far is under the age of 60. We believe that the virus this year, the swine flu virus, is a cousin to the virus that caused the 1957 pandemic, so that if you were exposed in 57, you may already have some immunity to the swine flu. Now, I know what you guys were doing in 1957. You weren't around yet. But in 57, I was still wearing jammies with footsies and watching Howdy Doody on a TV the size of a dinner plate.
He's back to good old Frank again.
But basically, if you were old enough to go to Woodstock and drink beer legally, you're probably okay.
Oh, my God.
But the interesting point about that is that means that the highest death rates so far have been in the older age group that don't have immunity, the 40 to 60-year-old group. So if you're a 23-year-old wonder kid, you know, relax. You might get sick, but you're not going to die. Despite all the hype so far, the flu's been fairly mild. There have been about 60,000 cases in Florida, but only 300 hospitalizations and only 22 deaths in the entire state. There have been only 4 deaths in the entire Tampa Bay area, and almost all of them have been people who are already sick. So let me summarize the main take-home points for you guys. First of all, if you play live tournament poker, or if you're a dealer, because dealers are just as much exposed,
right,
you know, plan on getting a flu shot in about a month or so. If you've got chronic diseases, you should get the shot probably. Sooner or later, you're going to get exposed to someone who's got the swine flu. Don't panic. You don't need a test. There are not enough nasal swabs in the world to test everyone who's going to get exposed, and you also don't need any drugs. So quit worrying. The flu's been pretty mild so far. If you get it, stay home in bed and tough it out. You don't need a test, and you don't need antiviral drugs unless you're dying or have some sort of chronic disease. And finally, most important point of all, if you're old enough to remember the first time Jimi Hendrix set his guitar on fire, then you're probably immune anyway, and this would be a great year to sign up for some winter tournaments because all your competition will be homesick.
Oh, man, that was great. Now, of course, Antiup Nationals are, you know, they're allowed to get a second opinion.
Right, exactly.
But we trust Dr. Frank, and we're not going to call him that anymore, so we're going to call him good old Frank.
Dr. Old Frank.
Dr. Old Frank. And we trust him so much, I'm going to let him analyze my hand of the week, because I have a hand of the week this week, so I'm pretty excited. I'm going to put you on the spot, too, though.
All right, cool.
All right, so we're going to move on to hand of the week. Frank, you can stick around, right?
You bet.
All right, here we go.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown.
This is Downtown Chad Brown, and I'm in the studio with Auntie Up.
Chris, people love Lee Childs.
It's remarkable how much positive feedback we got from doing the hands for us.
It's great, great. In fact, we got a hotline call. We normally do the hotline at the beginning of the show, but
yeah.
This one is hand of the week appropriate. So let's listen to what our new friend Dan from Mobile has to say about Lee.
My God, that guy Lee, that was the best poker lesson I have ever had. I've read a lot of books. and that was without a doubt the most analyzed game for pennies I've ever heard. That will really, really help me a lot in my game. I appreciate it. And once again, man, that was a awesome analyzed game. That's probably the best game I've ever heard analyzed, because I felt like I was there. I felt like I was playing the hand. And I'm going to use that. That's a new weapon in my arsenal. Thanks.
Wow.
Man. Talk about, like, we're not worthy of bowing down. Wow. He just loves Lee Childs. And who doesn't love Lee Childs?
Wow, yeah. And we'll stop here because it's the hotline, and let Dan know that he's won yet another swag prize.
Man.
No one else is calling the hotline at 813-448-1120. So, Dan, we're going to give you another piece of our new swag. It is a Animal Zodiac card protector from our good friends at poker-pig.com.
Oh, cool.
Really cool kind of things. And in fact, Dan sent us your birth year, and Brenda at poker-pig.com will send you out a card protector for your Chinese birth year.
Sweet.
Pretty cool.
Is awesome.
But we got more good news for you, Dan. Lee Childs is back with us again today.
Yeah.
And wait a minute, Chris. Where's Lee?
Weren't you supposed to get him?
No. You were supposed to put him in the car.
Wait, but we took your car. It's only a two-seater.
Chris, Lee is a professional poker player. He has an agent. He just signed with a new online poker room. He doesn't know how to do anything for himself anymore.
Oh, my God.
He trusts us. You were supposed to put him in the car. I put Frank in the car. You were supposed to put Lee in the car. Oh, man. Dan, if you can hear us, Lee, please. Don't run into traffic. Hopefully he's just balled up on your front porch. He's probably really scared.
He's so timid.
All right. Well, let's get to the hand of the week quickly so we can go and save Lee. Because, you know, when Jenny put him on the plane, she said, Scott, take care of Lee. And I promised him. And
well, it's your fault then. You promised to take care of him. I didn't.
All right. Well, we hope Lee's fine. But at least tell me you brought the hand of the week.
I have the hand of the week, and actually it was a hand I played, and I'm glad Frank is here, because Frank likes No Limit Hold'em too, so you guys can work it out together. But finally, I'm not on the spot, although I am on the spot because it's my hand. So
you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
We are. In fact, if folks would fill that barrel back up by emailing Hands of the Week to podcast@anyamagazine.com, we wouldn't have to rely on...
On my hands.
Exactly, exactly. Now, Frank...
do I get milk?
No, but Frank, we just want to be sure you're worthy here because, you know, Lee's an accomplished player. Where did you finish in the 2007 World Series main event?
I'm a professional, I want you to know that.
Oh, okay, all right. Cause,
not,
you know,
not poker player, but professional.
Lee finished seventh, so...
You weren't sixth, were you? Because if you weren't sixth, then I don't know if we can really, you know, we'll see what happens. But
I watched it seven times.
Okay, there you go.
All right, that makes you qualify. All right. Give us a hand here, Chris.
All right, so we were recently in a local card room, Sarasota One-Eyed Jacks, and I wanted to play the $100 No Limit Hold'em buy-in, but it was full. So I had to sit at the $60 table where it's 1-2 blinds, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is I only had, like, $40 left in my pocket, so I couldn't go to the. I didn't want to go to the ATM. You know me.
I saw you at the ATM.
I know, but you know me at the ATM. You know, I don't like to pay that fee and everything. So, so you know, I'm probably going to play it pretty tight. But let's just a little background on the hand, okay? Well, anyway, literally on my first hand, I had ace queen and won a pot, so I was up to like $95. So that was pretty good. I was thinking about leaving right there.
Congratulations!
Right, I was thinking about just getting up and going one hand, boop, out of there. But I remember the whole ethics thing, so I said, all right, I'm going to keep playing. So now there's a lady under the gun, and she has me covered. She has like $200, but she just won a high hand. So that's where the money came from. So I don't know if she's a good player or not.
Hmm.
And as I'm sitting down, there's a guy on my left and talking to another guy, and they're kind of grumbling about how terrible she is. So so I take that for what it's worth. I take the $200 coming from, most of it coming from a high hand, and saying, all right, whatever. So she raises. Now it's 1-2, all right? She raises to $5.
That's a little tiny raise.
A little tiny raise. 2.5, like a faso raise, right?
Faso.
So a player to my right.
Is that too?
It is now.
All right.
A player to my right calls, and he's got about the same chip, maybe a little less than me. He's probably got $70. But he calls, and it gets to me. I'm in the cutoff, and I have 10-10. So what do you guys do?
Fold.
No, really. What do you do?
I raise.
All right. You re-raise?
Absolutely.
Okay. What do you re-raise to?
Well, there's 10 in the pot plus the blinds.
13,
13 in the pot. I probably re-raise about $8.
Okay. Okay, no. So you would make it
13 to go.
You'd make it 13 to go?
At least.
Okay, 13 to go. What do you do, Scott?
Well, you know me, I like to trap here. So I might just call since we already got a razor in that we know is probably going to bet the flop. And if I hit my 10, I know I'm going to get, she's going to bet into me and I'll be able to get some money out of it. And we have that other caller in between and maybe I'll pick up a couple. I'll set mine here, actually.
You'll set mine. Okay, so Scott calls. You re-raised to about 13 to go.
I want to thin the field.
But like I said, you're going to re-raise the field. I don't think, sorry, Frank, that your $8 raise is going to
Yeah.
I think you need to juice it to maybe 20. 20 to go.
Now, I'm going to tell you what I did. I just called because, one, it's still my first orbit
there. Set mining!
It's my first orbit. I don't know how this lady plays on the gun. She may have a massive hand. She may not have raised earlier. I don't know. So I just called. And the other thing is, too, is Dan Negrano says it's just tens.
It's just tens.
So I'm speculating, and I decide to set mine as well. So, and I'm also in Scott's camp here, and it's making me sick. But if you make it 13 to go, there no one's going away for $8 more. They're not just not going away. At least I didn't think they were going to. That's the way it always happens.
You just
that room.
Frank around just to pick.
Yeah.
I'm clearly not making it out from under the Skyway Bridge before my stake is gone.
All right. So
you call.
That's what I did. Like I said, I really know anything about him. So the flop comes: Queen of Spades, Ten of Diamonds, Three of Hearts. All right.
Bingo, bango, bongo. It'd be nicer if an ace
I've made
hit.
Yeah, but I've made middle set.
But yeah, we're not going to get greedy.
Right, we're not going to get greedy. I made middle set. Now the lady leads out for $2.
No, I'm sorry, did the blinds get out of the way and everything?
Oh, yeah, it folded around the herd. Okay, so it, right. Yeah, I was the last to call. The blinds folded and the button folded, right, too. Okay. So I got position on everyone. She leads out for $2.
$2!
Now the guy in between us calls.
Oh, my $2!
He calls. So now there's...
He just calls.
Yeah.
Just calls the $2.
So it gets to me. What do you do?
Are you playing this at the carnival, or is this really at One Eye Jacks?
This is really at One Eye Jacks. This is like literally the sixth or fifth hand of the day for me sitting down. What do you do? She bets $2 into what amounts to be a $20 pot, essentially.
Well, it's tough because you said that from the information you gathered in the brief time you were there that this woman probably is not a true rounder. So you'd almost might be scared that she had a set of queens and is just trying to milk you guys along. But I just can't believe that. Can you believe that, Frank?
I got to raise.
Okay, Frank's going to raise. Scott, you going
to
raise?
I got to, right?
All right, what do you raise it to? There's actually about 16 in the pot because after the bad beat and the rake, and as a, you know what I mean? So there's probably about 16 in the pot now, and she bets... That's what they're betting too, and the other guy.
You know, I guess the other thing is the board. Other than the straight draw, is probably the only thing over. There's not a flush draw you need to worry about right now. But King Jack, Jack Nine. I guess I'm not really worried about the straight draw either. I might just float here and then punish him.
So you're thinking about just calling $2?
I think it's kind of weak, $2. So, but well, I might do it.
Okay, so Scott's gonna call. You're gonna raise.
I think if the guy in between the lady and you is any kind of reasonable poker player, he's going to realize that she underbet the pot, and I think we can get some more money in this pot right now.
So you're going to raise to what?
I'm going to raise about two-thirds of the pot.
Well, what kind of hands have we got these people on? I'm putting the woman on maybe an ace-king.
Okay, he's got the woman on ace-king.
Or ace-queen.
And Frank thinks maybe ace-queen.
I don't know about ace queen, but yeah, all right, it could be.
Okay.
I think the guy in the middle has got to be on some kind of draw. The only reason you would call $2 if you have a made hand like we do, or you have a draw and you're just hoping to
see another card for cheap.
You know, so I'm guessing really at this point, I mean, King Jack, he would call $5 probably with.
It's $2.
No, I mean $5.
Oh, pre-flop.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put him on King Jack. And I'm gonna put her on ace king.
Okay, so you're going to put her probably on ace queen, and the guy's on a drawing hand.
Right.
All right. Now you raise it.
$10.
$10 more. That's more than two thirds, right? I guess two thirds of the pot, right?
$16 pot, about.
So you're making it 12 to go now, or are you just making it eight more?
Eight more.
So that's eight more. So that's what he would have done. I read it as weak as well, though it could have been really strong. But I did read it as weak, so I made it 10 to go. All right, to see if I would get the middle guy out and just go heads up with her.
Very smart move.
So the lady calls and the straggler does fold.
Right.
The guy in the middle folds. So I don't know what he had. I'm sure that he would have called if he had an open-ended draw.
So I was wrong on the king.
Maybe he was lower on draw, or maybe he had a middle I don't know, bottom pair or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Case 10 or something.
Yeah, so I don't know what he had there, but he did fold. Now the turn is the eight of hearts. So that, for our driving friends, puts the queen of spades, the ten of diamonds, the three of hearts, and the eight of hearts on board. And the lady immediately checks. Like, it was like, she barely even saw the card. She goes, check! It was almost in the dark, but it wasn't. So that's how fast she checked. What do you do?
All right, now you got to take this bad boy down.
All right, now you got to take it down.
That eight of hearts really, I mean, unless you had jack nine, which is just totally implausible for her to have there. That eight doesn't help her. And now you've got the flush draw in case she had, like the eight, like I said, the ace king, if it was hearts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to be worried about it. I'm, we're in about 40, 50 hours in the pot now or something?
36.
Yeah, I'm betting at least a pot here.
Not even 36, really, because I made it 26 and she called 8 more. So 34, yeah. And probably the rake, so probably 32 now.
I'm trying to shut this hand down right now.
So how much were you going to bet into a $32 pot?
Probably the pot.
Probably about 30 bucks. Frank, what are you doing?
I agree completely. I think you got to take it down. There are too many draws on the board now.
Okay, too many draws on the board. I have a set of 10s, so she checks to me. I bet 15 bucks. I was thinking there was 32 in the pot or 30 in the pot. I was betting half the pot.
Well, you see, the 15 would work against a good player, but I think we've determined that she's not a good player, so I think she's just going to look down at her chips and say, oh, 15, three red, I can handle that.
Okay, well, I bet 15. I was thinking she might have had ace-queen or hoping that she had ace-queen. I'm not sure she would have bet $2 on a flop with queen high, but I was hoping that maybe she had ace-queen. I didn't want to lose her, but the board was getting scary. So I bet 15. She tanks and then says, I need a black card dealer. And calls. All right?
Black card.
So she's afraid that, for some reason, that I have a heart draw now or something. I don't know. But she goes, I need a black card dealer. All right, I don't know what to make of this, all right? But she calls.
You don't think she's smart enough to be...
I don't know what...
reverse.
I don't know. I don't know
what black card means. I mean...
I think she's thinking that I'm on a flush draw, and she's trying to protect her hand, or she thinks that her hand... Yeah, she's trying to make her hand hold up.
Yeah,
I don't know. But she says, I need a black card dealer, and then calls. So this is what I'm up against, all right? This is what I'm trying to tell you. The river is a queen of hearts.
Oh, that's not a black card.
It's not a black card. It completes a flush, and it completes other boats, and it fills me up. Okay? I don't actually have the nuts here, but there are three hearts on board, so maybe I was thinking, she insta-checks. All right? Before I tell you what I was thinking, she insta-checks. What would you do now?
Obviously, you're baiting us with this instant check thing.
She does. She did it again. She insta-checked. Yeah.
But if you're not baiting me, I'm thinking that the check doesn't really mean anything at all. She probably, at this point, we're hoping that she has ace-queen. But I really cannot imagine that we are behind here. I think we have the best hand and we need to value bet it.
Okay, so what you were putting her on ace-king before,
ace-king.
So you're still sticking with that?
Well, I can after she called the 15. I mean...
That's what I mean. So what hand does she have then?
So now I'm thinking it's more like an ace-queen.
Could it be king-queen?
It could be king-queen. It could be queen-10, maybe, but I doubt it. I mean, that'd be a long shot because it'd be the case-10. And
okay, Frank, what do you think she has?
Well,
what do you do?
I don't think she'd have a bigger full house. I don't think she can have a queen 10, a queen 3, or a queen 8.
Okay.
I just think she would have bet it differently.
Okay.
So I don't think we're behind unless she's got an ace queen of hearts. That's
ace queen of hearts, I still win.
Yeah, then we're still.
Because she only has three queens or a flush. She only has a flush or three queens or whatever, so that doesn't beat my full house.
Here.
You're right.
All right, well, so how much would you bet then? How much you guys betting? You said a value bet, Scott. How much does that mean?
We're up to about 60-some bucks in the pot now.
Yeah, it's around that. And maybe 30 and 30. Yeah, so it's about 62, maybe $60 even in the pot.
I
remember, too, at this point I have...
yeah, that's true. You're probably getting...
I have $65 at this point, and there's $60 in the pot.
I guess... You know, I want to get called here, so I don't want to bet too much, but I want to bet enough to make it, you know, I'm guessing somewhere in 20 to 25, maybe
okay.
25.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like half the pot. I'm thinking
so 20,
to 30.
Between 20 and 30, right? All right, well, I bet 15 because I wanted to value it. I really wanted to call here.
Yeah.
And I was thinking she has king, queen, or ace, queen. She insta-shoves after I bet 15, and she has me covered. Now, I have $50 left after that, and I'm getting about 3 to 1 on my money for a call. But if I fold, I'm just down $10 at the table right now, and I can still play, and I have to go to the ATM and pay the $250. And I've only just gotten there, and I know that Scott's playing, so I don't want to just leave. So what do you do now, and what does she have?
No, my value bet was priced that I would be willing to call if I got raised.
Yeah, because if you bet 25, then you would have 35 left, so you'd have to probably call.
And the only reason I wouldn't shove is because I thought it was a value bet and I wanted to get paid off. But I'm quite happy just putting my money in.
Okay, and Frank, now, I think you were going to bet 30, so you have to call, right?
I agree.
What about me then? Now, let's just take your decisions out of it and do mine. I only bet 15. I still have 50 left. I know I'm getting almost 3-1 or 3-1 on my money, but I have 50 left of a $60 buy-in.
I just can't put her on a better hand unless she had pocket queens. That's probably the only thing I'm really worried about here. The queen 10 is really tough to put her on. It'd have to be the case 10.
Yeah.
And like Frank said, queen 3 and queen 8 just doesn't make sense. So the only hand I'm worried about is pocket queens, which I guess is a possible. She bet $2 on that flop, and then I guess was going to let you take over the betting.
You can't look for demons under the
bed. But yeah, I mean, that's the only hand that can beat you, I think. So, I'm calling.
With your $50.
Okay.
Your $50.
I called, and she had queen 10.
Oh!
Queen of clubs, 10 of clubs. So now if you play the hand over again real quickly. So the board was queen of spades, 10 of diamonds, 3 of hearts on the flop. She bets $2. And if she's old school, which she was like in her 70s or 60, late 60s.
So really old school.
If she's really old school, then she's like doesn't want to lose anybody. And that's why she only bets 2 is the way I think of it. And then when I raise it, she just calls because she's got top 2. She thinks she's got the nuts. So when she was afraid of a red card coming, she must have thought that I picked up a draw, which is why, on the turn when the 8 of hearts came.
I doubt that, but...
So it's queen of spades, 10 of diamonds, 3 of hearts, 8 of hearts. She's thinking, I need a black card because he could have a flush draw and I want to protect my 2 pair. That's what she means there. Then when she filled up, she wasn't worried about it. She checked instantly because she made her boat and thought that I was going to bet at her again. Because if I had a draw, I made my flush, and that's why she's doing it.
Well, we've already established she's probably not a very smart player.
No, I know, but that's what was going through my mind, because I had no idea what to think.
Badly from the beginning.
Did you call or fold?
No, I called. Yeah, I called.
You went broke.
I went broke, and that's when Scott saw me at the ATM.
But, I mean, one, I don't see any reason. I mean, I love queen 10.
Right,
I'm not raising early position with it. If I hit those top 2 pair, I'm not betting $2 because I'm worried about the king, jack, and the straight. I'm betting take that pot down right then.
Right.
And hope I get re-raised by somebody with ace, queen or something.
Right.
And then I don't mind the check from her on the turn, I guess, because you've taken over the lead in the hand now. But I would check raise at that point if I was going to check. And then the river, I just can't trust that
then
you're going to
bet. Yeah. Well,
I got the boat. I got to...
She firmly put me on a flush draw, I think, by even saying I need a black card. And when the flush got there, but it gave her the boat, she was ecstatic and thought that I was going to bet.
So maybe she's just a smarter player than the three of us.
Maybe. I don't know. But
she found a way to get your stack with queen 10.
She got my stack.
Yeah, why is she going in under the gun with queen 10?
Yeah, and for a raise. It was queen 10 of clubs, so it was suited.
So
there you go. That makes all the difference in the world. But anyway, so Chris Cosenza, if you send us your address, we will we'll send you an awesome gift. Oh, no, wait. Well, anyway, guys, thanks for helping me out with the hand there. And, I guess I played it wrong. I didn't bet enough. Was it on the turn?
No, I
didn't bet enough on the turn. I only bet 15.
Your stack on this.
Yeah, I was, no matter what I did, she was going to call or whatever. So
she had the demon under the bed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could have folded on the end, but
you should be afraid of the demon under the bed.
Yeah, be afraid.
That's the lesson today.
Monsters.
Fold every hand.
Well, Frank, just good old Frank. Thanks for joining us today. We're glad you came in hobbling, and we can't wait to see you on the cruise and have a good time. And thanks for coming on the cruise. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
I can't wait to be there. You can find me on the Lido deck with Pocahontas in the hot tub.
And we hope our good friend Lee Childs is fine, and we'll be back on the show very quickly.
We'll put an APB out on for him.
Yep.
Tampa Police. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.